Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Balancing Program Show with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, MD.
Well, greetings and welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Jewel Balancing Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this show is being brought to you on the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, bringing you the sciences of life and living on TJN, the Jewel Network. So welcome, and it's great having you back, and we have another opportunity to learn more about the brain and to better understand how the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program can change your brain, which will change your life, which will allow you to experience all that you can be. So as usual, we want to become that visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. So you're listening to me. Get a pad and pencil so you can take notes, kinesthetic. And obviously, reading your notes allows you to be visual. The universal solvent is always necessary for the brain, that is high-quality water. So get your beverage, preferably the universal solvent, and join me right back after this message. Be right back.
From Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart by Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, an incredible volume of work, Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy today.
If you're tuning in, wonderful. Thank you. This is the Jewel Network. This show is the Dr. Jewel Balancing Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this week is our Anatomy Week. And so we always want you to be aware of that fabulous, fabulous computer instrument, organ, in the brain, known as the brain. So we are going to talk about a special part of the brain today. This part of the brain is known as the special agent by some authors. And just for your reference, a wonderful book that we've really enjoyed working through is entitled How Your Brain Works by Ann Novick Moreno. She's a medical doctor. And she's done a very interesting job, makes it very simple and clear. So we are going to use her description today of the important part of the brain known as the cranial nerves. The cranial nerves. Now remember that is so important. And there are 12 pairs of them. Very, very important. And many people have problems with some of these cranial nerves, and you will find out what these nerves do and how they allow you to be able to interact with your outer environment and to be able to process the experience that you create known as your life. So, now, what does the balancing program do with these cranial nerves? Well, it definitely enhances their capacity to do what they do. That is the special agent. So, very interesting the analogy that you used here, but very appropriate because we still are having difficulties understanding that our life, our outer world, is a reflection of literally our thinking and the expression of that those thoughts through the physical body. So the more you can understand the anatomy of the body and understand what thoughts are and how they're processed through the body, especially the brain, you will understand why your life is like it is. So many of the institutions that service us literally follow the anatomical and physiological behavior of special anatomical aspects of the body. So the analogy here is that the cranial nerves function for humans like our government. Isn't that amazing? So therefore, the cranial nerves have been labeled as special agents. And like most governments, the government has special agents that operate in their behalf. The power of the media, the capacity to monitor information from the outer environment, from other countries, is exactly what the government do. They hire special agents to do that. Well, guess what? Your spinal cranial nerves do that for you. Touch, pain, pressure, body position are all brought to the brain through the special agent known as the cranial nerves or spinal nerves. Therefore, intelligence or information is needed by the brain, just like the government, to be able to gather information quickly and precisely and then make a decision from the prefrontal cortex of the brain as to how the body should behave, whether you should speak or not, whether you should take action or not. All of this information that the brain needs through the special agents that process the outer environment, observe the outer environment, is exactly what the cranial nerves do, and this is a very important part of our governmental faculties. So, write this down. There are 12 pair of cranial nerves, all linking the brain directly to important areas outside of the skull. Now, they may not seem familiar as a group, but individually, they are well known. They include agents from four of the five senses: smell, which is facilitated by the agent known as the olfactory nerve; sight, which is facilitated by the agent or the nerve known as the optic nerve; hearing, facilitated by the cochlear nerve, spelled C-O-C-H-L-E-A-R, and taste, which is facilitated by two nerves, two agents, facial and the glossopharyngeal nerve. Very simple word. Let me spell it for you. G-L-O-S-S-O-P-H-A-R-Y-N-G-E-A-L, nerve. Glossopharyngeal nerve. So I'll let you look that up, okay, and you can get a good discussion probably in Wikipedia on that. Now, the trigeminal nerve also receives touch sensations from all areas of the face, while the vagus nerve keeps the brain in contact with the respiratory and the digestive organs. Now, I'm smiling as I'm sharing this information with you because in medical school and in human anatomy, as we teased and dissected these areas of the brain, because you have to turn the brain over because these nerves actually come from under the posterior basal area of the brain, that I'm looking and smiling at looking all the days and the weeks that we spent dissecting and teasing out these brains from other nerve tissue, and we remember them by their number, 1 through 12, first cranial nerve, the second cranial nerve, third cranial nerve, the trigeminal kind of gives you away, it's the fifth cranial nerve, then we have the seventh nerve, It's very interesting, and we're going to talk about that. But now, again, being very practical, the cranial nerve warns the brain of all types of danger and participate in reflexes that make us cough, squint, sneeze, and blink. Now, the cranial nerves also have more than sensory functions. Okay, they are responsible for a lot of things. True and reliable agents, as we know, the cranial nerve can implement the brain's motor directive swiftly, using their own channels that lie outside of the usual spinal motor pathway. So if I was showing you that, if you were in an anatomy class with me, you'd be directed to look at how the spinal motor nerves with their ganglion, et cetera, bring nerves together and then move out of the spinal column into the body, into the muscle area. Well, this is a kind of the elaborate connective system that the cranial nerves do not have to endure, literally, because it's a slower pathway. The cranial nerves have immediate reaction and interaction with your muscles, which is why you have all of these fabulous expressions that you can make with the facial muscles in response to sound, in response to the things you do, response to the things that are said to you, response to the environment, heat, humidity, cold. You can just watch your face and allow you to experience all these different environmental factors, and your face will make so many different expressions instantaneously because the cranial nerves also are directly linked with the muscular system. Now, the cranial nerves, not only do they interact with your muscle system, but also they can turn and focus the eye. They can regulate the size of the pupil that decides how much light comes into the eyeball, into the brain. They can even turn the whole head when necessary. They can move the tongue and the vocal cords to support you and enable you to speak. And they can move the facial muscles to let us smile, grimace, glare. They let us swallow, and they also are responsible for your ability to spit or to expectorate. And all these nerves come from underneath the brain to these special areas outside of the skull so that the entire environment can be monitored. Now, these nerves are accompanied with an incredible, exquisite circulatory system to make sure that each one of these nerves gets enough oxygen and nutrients from the digestive tract and from the lungs so that they can have this incredible, intense, instantaneous reactive capacity. Very, very interesting. Now, the headquarters for most of the cranial nerves lie in the brain's cranial nerve nuclei. Now, the cranial nerve nuclei are separate, specialized populations of neurons within the brain that mediate the brain's communication with the cranial nerves. Now, they mediate activity that are conscious, like hearing and taste, as well as those that are subconscious, like the pupil's response to light. You know, you don't know when your pupil dilates and contracts. But that is handled by a part of the brain that you have yet to become aware of in consciousness. And the balancing program helps to increase your capacity to diminish the amount of subconscious activity your body carries out, as well as your brain. I'm pausing on that because I really want you to comprehend what I just said. The subconscious areas of the brain are subconscious to you or below your consciousness, because you do not have enough neurons connected to those areas of the brain where the information that they are processing can be recognized and recorded in consciousness. That is, through the areas of the brain that you are aware that you are mediating. So the more you balance, the less subconscious brain activity you have, which is why you begin to recognize that you have incredible powers and capabilities, because you're now aware that you can become aware of how much your pupil is dilated and how much light is entering the brain. You can control the pupil at will when the neurons are connected, where you can now make a conscious decision about that based on the information that the brain is processing. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. That's why balancing the brain is an incredible phenomenon. So, let me give you a little more information. We're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we're going to take each nerve, each cranial nerve, and give you a little more discussion on this. Now, the vestibular nuclei, now write this down, or let me check the spelling with you, V-E-S-T-I-B-U-L-A-R, nuclei, which is the cranial nerve number 8, detects head movement and has an intimate relationship with the cerebellum. Remember that, cranial nerve number 8. So many times people feel off balance or they're clumsy, and we may think about the fact that is that 8th nerve functioning properly? Because many times we'll see people hold their head in very different or strange ways. There may be a problem going on with the cerebellum relative to the information that the 8th nerve is processing, and the cerebellum may not be able to orientate and properly approximate what information should be sent to the muscles, to the spinal column, to the head as to what is the most ideal posturing or position the individual should acquire. Now, this relationship is very important for dancers. Dancing is an incredible phenomenon, and we take it for granted. We really take it for granted, but it is an incredible phenomenon, and it talks and it expresses to us an incredible communication system that the brain has between the muscles, all the sensory areas, as well as the capacity to process the information as the body is moving through space, at the same time listening to a frequency and then pacing the contraction and expansion of the muscle with that frequency in a very harmonic and modulated manner. It is an incredible feat. And so when we see individuals who can carry the body in such an incredible way with any type of beat, any type of modulation, and be able to master elevating themselves into the air, being able to master lifting the body up off of its feet and only allowing perhaps maybe a half an inch of the toe of the feet to be in contact with the earth and not fall down and be able to spin around at the same time is a brain that is showing, is demonstrating to you how exquisite you are made and the capabilities you have. Do you understand that when ballerinas only have about half an inch of their body in contact with the earth, at the tip of their toe. They're on point, as we call it. And they are still able to hold their balance, hold the body erect, be able to move through space. All is necessary with the communication between these special agents. The government of their body is incredible. They have an incredible collection of special agents, highly trained, highly sensitive. I'm talking about the cranial nerves that are able to process all of this activity and still be able to control all of the muscles. The muscles are then having to control the bones, the tendons, all the joints that could easily flex and bend. All of that has to be held appropriately so this individual can take on this particular posture in space, in a rhythmic timing to a frequency known as sound. This is incredible, and most of us take it for granted. Most of us in our lives never ever comprehending and understanding what we have done in just being able to go out and have a night full of fun, dancing, having fun. We have not understood yet all the things that have come into play for us to have that fabulous evening. Well, I want you to thank your special agents, the cranial nerves, because they play a strategic part of that. And I'll just say this before I go to the message from our sponsor. When you spend the time really understanding and appreciating how fabulous this body is that you have created for yourself, you will definitely have to ask yourself, why in the world would I entertain putting a tablet of crystal meth in my body? I need a snort of cocaine for what reason? Why do I want to basically inhale marijuana? I'm not sick. I don't have any problems. My body is functioning fine. So why do I want to change the awareness of my special agents? Why do I want to change the awareness of my spinal cranial nerves? Why do I want to do that? See, the people who are doing these drugs do not understand what they are doing to themselves. They've never studied anatomy and physiology. Or if they have, because I do want you to know that there's a lot of nurses, there's a lot of doctors, there's a lot of EMS technicians that do abuse drugs. But now we're going to talk about that one day. The area of the brain that I am expressing this quality of appreciation for this area of the body is coming from my prefrontal cortex. I'm dealing with the database and the pictures of all these things that I'm seeing, that I'm sharing with you. And when I look at all this information spread out across my silver screen in my prefrontal cortex, the idea and the thought of processing, of taking a drug that with all of its side effects and what it does, just doesn't make sense. My brain is like, cancel, cancel, no, no. Unnecessary, unnecessary, problems, problems. And then it's showing me all of these things that could possibly happen from doing this. Now, individuals who do know anatomy, who basically have an idea clearly of what I'm sharing with you, but do this, are not consciously functioning through the prefrontal cortex of their brain. They're not in what we call the new brain or the brain for the human. They are functioning from lower segments of the brain, and therefore this capacity to appreciate themselves as humans is not in their consciousness because they're working from the subhuman areas of the brain that we call the allocortex. Now, the more that you learn about how this brain works and what are the circuits in the brain and where they've come from, are they originating from the reptilian brain, from the avian bird brain, from the insectoid brain, once you recognize that there are certain capabilities and thoughts that are processed at those levels, when you allow that level of influence to then influence the entire body, especially if it is an untoward potential, that is, that it can be harmful, not bringing that information to the higher levels of the brain circuitry, that is, into the prefrontal cortex, will cause you potentially lots of problems. And so that's what we see happens when decisions are made from information only brought to your consciousness from the lower circuits of the brain, those circuits that were contributed by the nervous system of lower life forms. So remember what I said. I'll be right back after this message, and let's talk more about those fabulous special agents that form the government of the body, known as the cranial nerve. Be right back.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net.
You're listening to The Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, on the web at www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Greetings. If you're just tuning in, welcome. Grab a pad and a pencil, because we've been talking about the special agent of the human government, known as the cranial nerves. And so we're now going into identifying them by number. And as I've shared earlier, and make sure you listen to this archive again, because these are very important areas of the brain that you want to be aware of. It was so much fun in medical school in our human anatomy class remembering all of these cranial nerves as we dissect them off the base of the brain. So again, number one, cranial nerve number one, olfactory nerve. These are thin fibers of the olfactory nerve which originate in 100 million smell receptors on the roof of the nasal cavity. You have 100 million smell receptors on the roof of the nasal cavity. The olfactory nerve fibers carry information about environmental smells to the cerebral cortex and to the limbic system. Now, the limbic system, we've talked about that, is the seat of the emotions. So, therefore, this is lower brain function, okay, to the limbic system, emotional. So it's very interesting to recognize how some people are able to handle experiences. Why? Because, again, the olfactory nerve brings information to the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that is created specifically to navigate a human body, as well as to the survival areas of the brain, such as the limbic system. So when there is a particular shift in the content of air, which we notice usually by recognizing that there is an odor to it, a smell, if there's something very important that a person has to get done, and irregardless of the smell, must move forward and continue the process in that environment, that decision is made by the cerebral cortex. And so the individual will say, okay, odor is very noxious, but we have to get this done. So immediately the body will be put on alert. We have to function with this, handle it. Let's move forward. As opposed to if it's only allowed to be processed by the limbic system, the individual will usually make a comment, this really doesn't smell bad. Well, I can't go in there. Well, I can't be a part of this, or whatever, whatever, you know. And immediately the body shuts down, no more activity, no more functioning, and the problem is there. Obviously for somebody else to handle, because this individual has decided that they're not going to proceed any further because the decision is made from the emotional brain. Now, I'm taking my time to bring this to your attention because I want you to see how your behavior plays out in your life. How many men, they're playing with their dear baby. They love the baby. Oh, I'm so proud of my son. Oh, I just love my daughter. And then the baby poops in his pants, has a vowel woman in his diaper. The father, many men, will just shut down. Ooh. This baby smells bad. Dorothy, come and get the baby. Okay, Dorothy comes to the room. Oh, she pooped her pants. You know, here, take her. So Dorothy's like, I'm not understanding why you can't take the baby to the changing room and change the baby. Oh, no. Oh, no. So, therefore, Dorothy's got to go. She had a life. She was doing whatever, probably fixing dinner. And so she's got to stop and deal with the baby because of the emotional decision that the father has made where he no longer is able and capable of interacting with his dearly beloved child because of an odor. So he did not process that information that the agent of the human government brought to him from the prefrontal cortex, from the human part of the brain. He went strictly into the emotional area of the brain and processed that experience. And immediately alienated himself from his daughter that he truly loved, or his son. But at that point, he couldn't have anything to do with them because of an odor, as opposed to processing that in the cerebral cortex, which is obviously what the mother had to do, and say, okay, oh, I see that you pooped your pants. All right, you know, let Pop go ahead and take care of you and change this, et cetera. The odor didn't change, but because it was processed in a different area of the brain that gives different directives to the body, the human who decided to stay in the humanoid aspect of the brain was able to master that experience by recognizing, okay, we got a bad odor here, we know where it came from, so we're going to take care of that, and then we're going to go on having a great time together. The individual who basically is working out of the emotional brain totally severs the relationship with the child because this odor has totally taken over the capability of this individual to proceed in a dominating, controlling posture with this experience. He's supposed to be the parent, not another child. But again, because he processed this in the emotional area of the brain, which most adults are supposed to grow beyond in consciousness, in adults, the emotional brain just gives us information about an event from the perspective of whether we need to protect ourselves or not, but it is the prefrontal cortex that gives us the final decision as to what is the focus, what do we need to do, because if the value on the focus has to be maintained, you are not going to basically stop your behavior because of the agents bringing you the information that there's a bad smell about, which is why the mother is changing the child and the father is now acting like a second child. And this happens all the time because we're not understanding how this area of the brain is relative to our decision-making and how it controls our muscles, and then it literally determines whether we are successful or failures in our life. Understanding the anatomy of who you are and how this body functions is critical if you are going to master your life. You must have the mind of a scientist and understand, why am I doing what I'm doing? Let me look inside of me first. What is it about me that I'm not understanding? Where do I want to basically be able to think and process this information so that I can move this body as a master through this experience and move on with my dreams and plans. It's much easier to be able to talk to yourself this way, move throughout the areas of your brain so that you can control and direct the performance that you want your body to exhibit when you have a balanced brain and can access these areas of the brain in consciousness. That is what the Dr. Jewel Balcon Program does for you. Moving along, the optic nerve, nerve number two. The optic nerve carries impulses for sight from the retina, which is that area of special neurons at the back of the eyeball, to the occipital lobe of the cerebral cortex. Now, we haven't said much about that occipital lobe, but it's very interesting. Believe it or not, even though the eyes are in the front of the head, where all the processing of all the images occurs, it's in the back of the brain. Now, check out what I just said. I just, this piece is so exciting because I really want you to understand how you are constantly walking around in your own body if it's healthy. When you go to the movie theater, what's the setup? The screen is in the front, and you sit facing the screen, but the real processing of the movie is happening in the back. So up in the top of the back of the theater is where the camera is projecting the image onto the screen that then is coming through the eye that literally is being mirrored. So the image is coming through the eye, and it's doing what? It's going back to the back of your head, the occipital lobe, being processed and then moved into the prefrontal cortex where you're acknowledging, oh, yeah, there's a man and woman on the screen, and, you know, she's dancing, and he's holding her hand, and she has a red dress on. You're seeing all of this, but only because of the processing that happens in the occipital lobe in the back of the brain, even though the images are coming through the front through the optic nerve. So what am I telling you? I am telling you that when you go to the movies, you are literally sitting in the optic nerve process of your own brain that has been replicated and externalized for you to be able to see what you call a movie. You are sitting in the occipital optic aspect of your brain when you go into a movie theater. Now, how many of you knew that you were going into your brain when you would, when you go into a movie theater? But that's because you did not know the anatomy of how the eye and the brain are all functioning so that you can have the experience known as vision. Know thyself, know thyself. Cranial nerve number three, the oculomotor nerve. Interesting. Cranial nerve number four, the trochlear nerve, T-R-O-C-H-L-E-A-R, and cranial nerve number six, the abducens cranial nerve. Now, my favorite nerve, that trigeminal nerve, number five, and that's a biggie, but we're going to deal with that. That's one of the dentist's favorite nerves, too. So, oculomotor nerve, number three, trochlear nerve, number four, and the abducens, A-B-D-U-C-E-N-S, number six cranial nerves control what? The muscles that move the eyeball in its socket. The oculomotor nerve also carries parasympathetic fibers that control the size of the pupil. Now, remember I told you you can control the size of the pupil. And usually most of us have to use other additional facial muscles to do that. But you can get so savvy in developing and expanding your consciousness where you can do that and you don't have to use the energy of the facial muscles. But now to move the eyes laterally from side to side and to move the eyeballs upward or downward requires specific muscles. And so the superior rectus, okay, and the I'm trying to bring that back from my anatomy class. Superior rectus muscles move the eyeballs laterally, and we used to abbreviate that as SR4. Why? SR4 because it is the cranial nerve number 4, the abducens nerve, that actually empowers those muscles. Okay? Let's talk about cranial nerve number 5. Well, I should say something about the LRs, okay? The lateral rectus muscles. Okay. The lateral rectus muscles, okay, it makes it really clear. Okay, so let's get that right. The lateral rectus muscles are the muscles that are responsible for moving the eyeballs from left to right, laterally. Superior obliques muscles are responsible for rotating the eyeball up and rotating the eyeball down. So SO4, the fourth cranial nerve, so the superior obliques, and the sixth cranial nerve, which is the abducens, is for the lateral, is for the lateral rectus muscles that move it from side to side. Got it. Okay. Now, the trigeminal nerve. The trigeminal nerve carries sensations from the skin of the face, from the cornea of the eye, and from the teeth. As I said, it's the dentist's best friend, okay? It carries the pain of toothaches and of the temporal mandibular joint dysfunction. Its motor portion controls the jaw muscles responsible for chewing. So I want you to start thinking, when you're chewing your food, you're dealing with your fifth cranial nerve, the trigeminal nerve. Also, any teeth issues, pain is conducted from the teeth to your consciousness by the trigeminal nerve, and also any sensations that you have on your skin over the face is trigeminal nerve. Amazing. So when you touch your face, you can feel that. That's the fifth cranial nerve that brought that information into the brain. Any teeth pain? Trigeminal nerve, that's the cranial nerve number 5, and also, too, being able to open and close your mouth, to buccate your teeth, that means to actually grit your teeth, trigeminal nerve, and then chewing, trigeminal nerve. This is a fabulous nerve. I'm thinking all the things I learned about this nerve in medical school. But the main thing is, again, they come out of the right and the left side of the brain, the foramen, and when they can communicate, guess what? You can literally talk to your teeth and pain shooting through your mouth through your teeth, or you can say, okay, we've got it. We know that there's some problems there. We'll take care of that in a day or so. Call the dentist and stop the pain. When you have more neurons that are connected, that is what the balancing program does. You are enabled to have much more control and input over your body in general and specifically when the brain is balanced. So therefore, you can have intercommunication that has meaning, that is effective, that gets results because you have a highly developed connectone. The connectone is, again, by definition, the amount of neuronal connections throughout a nervous system. How many neuronal connections do you have throughout your entire nervous system? The more you have, the more you are capable of controlling all phenomena in the body as well as in the outer environment. So you want to have a vast connectome, but how can you when you're only operating out of a part of one half of the brain because you haven't even brought the balance and full development of the corpus callosum that connects the right and the left hemisphere of the brain, which is what the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program does. seventh cranial nerve. The facial nerve, the seventh cranial nerve, facial nerve controls the muscles of facial expression. It allows us to smile, to frown, or to show an expressionless poker face. Paralysis of the right or the left nerve causes a drooping of one side of the face, known as Bell's palsy. The facial nerve also carries taste from the front portion of the tongue and controls some of the salivary glands that make saliva. How about that? Now, is that a busybody nerve or not? Controlling your saliva, it also basically controls the taste buds on the anterior or front portion of the tongue. It also is responsible for activating the facial muscles so that you are able to have full expression, to smile or to frown or to just hold the muscle still. Many times we see people where that nerve is degenerating and you can look at their face and you can see twitches, that certain muscle groups will twitch on the face. And the individual really isn't aware that the muscle is twitching, or what we call fasciculating. But that normally is due to the fact that there's definitely some misinformation or an inequality of electromagnetic stimuli going through the nerve. And it is of such a depth that the individual is not aware that their face is moving. Only when, obviously, there's just full input and stimuli that the whole muscle just intensely contracts and relaxes is the muscle aware. And so many times people would say that, oh, you know, my eye is jumping, my eyelid is jumping, et cetera. I can feel it. If someone says that they're seeing it, you know, what does that mean? And that's very common that people will talk about that. They are now being brought to their awareness that there's some hyperactivity going on in the facial nerve. So individuals where the face is, the skin is drooping off the face, et cetera, a facial nerve degeneration. And I'm so concerned about that, that many times the cosmic surgeons are not really paying attention to the fact that, you know, am I doing this facelift on an individual who really has cranial nerve disease, that they have early changes going on in the cranial nerves, the inferior portion of the brain, and they really need to have further neurologic evaluations done as opposed to just being so concerned about why is the face drooping. Okay, is this a pre-stroke activity or what's going on? And, yes, there are some cosmetic surgeons that do that degree of investigation, but for the most part, no, it's not done. And so, therefore, these individuals wind up having severe cranial disease and dysfunction later on in life when the very early symptoms were where? Right on their face. So, again, we want to really begin to pay attention that our body's always giving us information. They're really great agents, these nerves that are constantly giving the brain information, which then gives you information if you would just begin to pay attention. So I think we can get through a few more of these. I may have to finish up here at a later date, the next session, because these cranial nerves are so awesome. I don't want you to think that you can just skip through them. We spent a lot of time in human anatomy on the cranial nerves. Trust me. The acoustic nerve, nerve number 8, known as the acoustic nerve, number 8, acoustic nerve, A-C-O-U-S-T-I-C, also known as the auditory or vestibulocochlear nerve. Now, vestibulocochlear nerve, those literally are names of the components within the ear that this nerve also innervates. Okay? So it tells you basically that the acoustic nerve, nerve number 8, innervates or brings information from specific parts of the ear. Vestibular portion of the nerve arises from what? The labyrinth of the inner ear and carries sensory input that detect head position and movement, or what we call your proprioception. The cochlear portion carries impulses from the sense of hearing. Now, it's very interesting. If you look at the tympanic membrane, the way that the bones, there's 3 bones inside the ear. They're so cute, you know, sapes and amalias. It's really cute. So the sapes actually looks like a stirrup, and then you have the malleus that looks like a little hammer. And the way that the tympanic membrane wraps around them, it actually looks like the inside of a nautilus shell. So when they talk about this vestibular portion of this labyrinth, as it wraps around itself, okay, like a shell, has fluid in it. And it's like a little gyroscope inside your head, in either ear. And when that basically is damaged or infected, et cetera, then obviously the information that needs to be delivered to the brain as to where your body is in space is lost. And so therefore you become clumsy, or you really, you know, can't hold your posture erect, et cetera, because the information as to where your body is in space is not being delivered accurately to the brain. This is a very, very important nerve here, and unfortunately many people don't get a chance to really appreciate how important it is until they lose that level of communication, that agent is knocked out for whatever reason. So the infection in the ear, damage to the eardrum, which happened a lot during the war times in our past history, where it wasn't recognized that these individuals who were working with these cannons and all these other type of guns and things, they didn't have any acoustic protection, that is, for the ear and the gyroscope inside. Many people working in factories that were very, very noisy, we found out over the years that their eardrums had been damaged, that the acoustic and the cochlear aspect had been damaged, and they really began to walk funny, okay? They kind of walk with their legs straddled, and, you know, their feet have to be totally flat on the ground most of the time. So, you know, they kind of walk like a bear, or, you know, they walk like a little baby that's just learning how to walk because this area of the cranial nerves have been damaged. And many of these people still don't know that it is the acoustic nerve that is the problem, okay, that has been damaged. So many people are losing their hearing now. They got all these little special nano hearing aids and things. But how many people who know that they have challenges with their hearing and with their proprioception, their capacity to be balanced in space, have taken the time to even study that nerve and to study the cranial nerve? Because even if you just read about it and focus on it, you're building a rapport with this part of the body, that if you focus on this long enough, you will be able to regain control over it and to communicate with it. That grows blood vessels. That means oxygen is going to the area, blood is going to the area, waste will be taken away, and you can heal this area if you focus on it. So knowing the anatomy of your body is so important, because therefore if there's some indication that some area is not communicating thoroughly information from the outer environment, or that you need to impart information to that area, having established a rapport with it means the communication flows easily. The response from the communication is immediate. But when you haven't taken the time to say, hello, hey, I'm Joe Blow, I'm the owner of your body, you got problems. So this is very important.
So again, it's time for Soul. I'd love to share sharing this information with you. Everything in the nervous system works better when you have a balanced brain. The body works better when you have a balanced brain. So make sure you visit the website, www.thejewelnetwork.net, and check out the information on the balancing program. Bring your cranial nerves into alignment. Balance them. You have a set for the right and the left hemisphere of the body so that you can be all you can be. Develop the mind of a scientist. I'll be back on Wednesday for the Dr. Jewel Show. Don't forget to tune in on Thursdays for the Mind of a Scientist. Don't forget, for all of you who are balanced already, sign up for the Dr. Jewel Brain Balance Alliance. Fabulous time we have. And for those of you who want to continue furthering the integration of your brain, please make sure you join our Prismatic Neurointegration Program. I tell you, color has never looked so wonderful until you start integrating the synapses of each neuron. So I'll be back. Take time to talk to your cranial nerves. Love you very much. And again, thank you for signing up for the spring fling. Fabulous time we're having. Bye-bye.
Jewel Network. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.